This program is for entertainment and educational purposes and without warranty as to completeness and accuracy of the commentary or opinions. The opinions expressed are solely those of the host and not those of the sponsors or affiliate attorneys or this radio station. No attorney-client relationship is established by any response or commentary on a legal subject. Alabama law requires the following disclaimer. No representation is made that the quality of legal services to be performed is greater than the legal service of other lawyers. Welcome to Law Chat 24/7, a weekly show that reviews and discusses legal issues that impact you and our community. Sponsored by Boatler Richardson Wolf Injury Lawyers, proudly serving the citizens of the Alabama, Mississippi, Florida Gulf Coast since 1987. Now, your hosts of Law Chat 24/7, attorney Mark Wolf and his co-host Marion Boatler.
Hello and welcome to Law Chat 24/7. I'm attorney Mark Wolf. I'm here in the studio with my host, Marion Boatler.
Hello, are you doing? Hello, I am great. How are you doing?
Doing well. Did you have a good weekend?
Oh, it was great. It was good.
Good, good. Y'all staying busy this summer?
We are. We're trying to. So
very good.
It's getting a little warm out there.
Yes,
so
it
we
is.
Were indoors
yes,
most of the day.
And for our listeners that don't know, Knox Boatler, Marion's husband, is my law partner. And Knox is currently up for a judgeship here in Mobile County. How's that going
along? That's right. It's good, I believe. His interview is coming up soon, so we are excited.
And it's an appointment by the governor. Mm-hmm. Of Mobile County nominating committee sent three names up to the governor for an appointment. Knox was one of the three
that came out. Very proud.
He's very good. Very big honor for him, and mm-hmm. we're very proud and hope that works. And I know y'all are tired of the process, ready for it to
ready,
be over.
Yes, so it's exciting.
Well, I have a good shout out today. Today is our twins' birthday.
Wonderful, Mitch and Allie.
Mitch and Allie are 26.
Wow.
I know.
I cannot believe it.
No.
I'm feeling old.
You feel old. I feel really old. Oh, time moves quickly.
It does. I know you're proud of them. I'm
very proud of them, and they're doing well. And Allie's having a birthday party at the house today at the pool.
Mm-hmm.
She's got mom cooking for her. So
good.
That's all good. So, all right. You know, this is our 12th show.
Wow.
It's hard to believe we've done so many. And I went back through and we have answered and responded to well over 100 questions on
Great.
The air.
Uh-huh.
Plus all the ones that come in during the week that we don't pick to mm-hmm. use on the air. We've been doling out a lot of legal advice.
Great information.
Yeah. Information.
Very helpful.
Yes. And if you want to remind people how they can get their questions responded to.
Absolutely. There are three ways to submit your legal questions and get a response in 24 hours. There's the lawchat247.com website. There's the Law Chat 24/7 Facebook page. Or just send an email directly to Mark at mark@brwlawyers.com.
All right, yes, and we've gotten a lot of questions in, and we're trying to keep them in some sort of a group or organized. Mm-hmm. And the first segment, we're going to talk about business interruption claims. The second segment, we're going to talk about just some general questions about motor vehicle claims and hiring lawyers. Mm-hmm. The third segment, we'll have some information about, you know, handling your personal injury claim on your own. And then, of course, in our fourth segment, we have our Can I Sue?
That's
which
right.
is always interesting. We always get interesting questions in that area. Mm-hmm. So how about our first area?
Right. Well, our first question tonight is about a business interruption insurance claim. It says, I've been seeing a lot of lawyer ads on social media for these kind of claims. And what is business interruption insurance coverage?
Well, business interruption insurance coverage is basically that if you have a loss that's covered under your policy, the business interruption insurance will help replenish your net profits.
Mm-hmm.
We're seeing a lot of these issues related to the COVID-19 shutdowns.
Right.
And I think our next question actually involves that, too.
It does. This question is from Bill, and he wants to know about business interruption insurance claims. He states, I own a business that was closed because of the coronavirus, and I'm afraid the city may shut it down again. I told my insurance agent I wanted to make a business interruption claim under my business insurance policy. He said I didn't have that coverage. Isn't it standard with my business policy?
And the first answer to the question is no, it's not standard because we don't really have standard policies in our state.
Mm-hmm.
The policies for insurance can vary from company to company, and a lot depends upon what you purchase with your agent and the amount of coverage you may get. For example, a lot of times in car crash situations, we'll talk to a client and they'll say, well, I have full coverage.
Mm-hmm.
Well, full coverage means different things to different
right.
companies. Allstate may define it one way and may include rental coverage, and Alpha may not include that in their full coverage. So there's not a standard business policy, and in fact, business insurance policies can vary a lot. What you do find is two types of business interruption insurance claims. One is in what we call an all-risk policy, and that's a policy that says we provide business interruption for all risks incurred by your business. The other is for a covered loss mm-hmm. claim. A covered loss may be like a fire or a flood or something like that. So it's not a standard, or it's in every policy. What we're advising our business clients to do right now is, if they think they have a business interruption insurance claim, is to go ahead and get their claim together.
Mm-hmm.
Because again, it's their burden of proof to prove what their loss income
right.
was. So go ahead and start working with your profit and loss statements, getting your information together, talking with your accountant, seeing what your historical data shows, trying to figure out what is your claim value,
mm-hmm.
going ahead and submitting that claim with all your documentation, and then seeing what the insurance company says. In Alabama, when an insurance company denies a claim, if you ask for a written explanation, they're supposed to give it to you.
Mm-hmm.
So if you submit the claim and they send something back and say, well, it's not covered, you can ask them to be more specific, and they can tell you, well, this is in such and such portion of the policy, or this was not from a covered loss, or this was excluded, or whatever. And then the attorney has something to work with to review the policy.
Mm-hmm.
At that point, you can order a copy of the policy and look to see if, in fact, the business interruption claim is a potentially viable claim. But the most important thing here is to remember, you carry the burden of proof.
Right.
You can't just call them up and say, hey, you know, I lost $100,000 during the shutdown
mm-hmm.
and expect them to write a check. The first thing they're going to say is, well, we're not sure it's covered. Or two, they're going to say, prove it.
Right.
send us the documents. And they're within their right to do that. In Alabama, you carry the burden of proof when you make that claim. So they're within their right to ask for that documentation. So we're telling our business owners to go ahead, put it all together. Get your documents, get your profit and loss statements, get your past historical data to show what your income had been during that period of time, so that you can then submit that claim and let them make the decision, one, mm-hmm. if they're going to pay it, but two, if they're going to deny it, the basis for that denial of the claim. So it's a very, very interesting area right now.
Mm-hmm.
Lots and lots of lawyers are advertising for these type cases. So it's not going away anytime soon, unfortunately, because of the current situation. And I'm afraid we're going to have more businesses shut down again, just like they did in Florida and Texas, where they shut down, I think, bars and restaurants again. So it's just a difficult area, and during difficult times.
Right, so, right. Well, yes, thank you.
All right, and we're coming up on our first break. If you just want to remind folks how they can get their questions to us.
Absolutely. There's the website, lawchat247.com, or the Facebook page, or just a direct email to you, mark@brwlawyers.com.
All right, we have lots of more questions
yep.
to respond to coming up. And in just a few minutes, we have a few messages from some of our sponsors. Thank you all for listening, and we look forward to seeing you on the other side of the break.
Welcome back to Law Chat 24/7. To be a part of the show and to have your legal questions answered, email Mark Wolf. Details online at lawchat247.com. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Wolf and Marion Boatler.
And welcome back to our second segment. Before we get into our questions, just a quick reminder, we spent the first segment on business interruption insurance claims. And for any of our business owners that are out there listening that are not sure about their policy, if they have a copy of their policy, we will be glad to take a look at it for them at no charge, just to kind of see if they have that coverage, and then give them some guidance on getting their claim together and getting it submitted. And then obviously if the claim is denied, then we'll come back and revisit if there was a legitimate basis for that. You can contact our office at 433-7766. Just ask for me, Mark, and we will be glad to take a look at that and see if we can help with that. All right, moving into segment number two, we have some questions about attorneys and injury claims.
We do. This question comes from Jane, who was submitted through our Law Chat 24/7 Facebook page. She wants to know, what is the benefit of getting an attorney to help with my personal injury claim?
All right. And this is assuming this is an injury claim that warrants an attorney involvement. As we've said a number of times, not every case, not every insurance claim requires a lawyer. Mm-hmm. Most of the time what we advocate is at least knowing your basic rights. That's why we have our guide for auto crash insurance claims available free on our website at brwlawyers.com. You can just go to our site, order that, get a better feel for the insurance claim process and what you need to do, and then decide if you think you need a lawyer involved. I always advocate consulting with a lawyer early doesn't necessarily mean hiring a lawyer. But the benefit of getting a lawyer involved in a personal injury case, really, I think you can break it down into three things. One is reserves. The second is value drivers, and the third is valuation of the claim. Now, we've talked about all three of those things at different times throughout the show when answering questions, but we're going to kind of summarize them in response to this. Reserves are the amount of money the insurance company sets aside to pay a claim. By law, insurance companies are mandated and required to have cash in reserve to pay all known and pending claims. Obviously, that's to protect consumers so that an insurance company does not go belly up while a claim is pending, or they have money to cover pending claims if they do go belly up. The money that's held in reserves is pulled out of the market, usually kept in some sort of a money market account, a liquidated account, not stocks, not bonds. And so when they know about a claim, they're supposed to set reserves. And so the adjuster getting the reserve set right early is very important. That's one of the things an attorney that's experienced in this area can help you with, is to make sure the adjuster sets the reserves at a proper or high enough level so that when it comes time to pay the claim, there's been enough money set aside for that claim. Now, the reserves can be adjusted or bumped up during the pendency of the claim, but you want to get those reserves set literally as high as possible early on. And there are a couple things we can do, a lawyer can do, to help get those reserves set at a level so that they're sufficient when the time comes to settle a claim. I think we've used this example before. If you have a $20,000 claim and the adjuster's only reserved it at $10,000, you may have a hard time getting it settled because the adjuster has under-reserved it. Whereas if the adjuster's reserved that claim at $30,000, may make it easier for the adjuster to pay the true value of the claim, the $20,000. So getting reserves set properly, that's one thing. The other thing an experienced lawyer can help you with on an injury claim is understanding value drivers. More and more insurance companies use computer-assisted claim evaluation programs. Allstate uses Colossus. It's the one that's been around the longest. And that's a lot of basically the adjuster puts in a lot of data, diagnostic codes, treatment codes, all kinds of various information, and this computer program helps spit out a value for the claim that the adjuster is supposed to use as a guideline. Well, if information is not put into that program and it's not factored into the value, then that's going to be a problem. So a good injury lawyer can help make sure all the favorable value drivers are input into the claim, and if there's negative value drivers, make sure that you submit information or material to try to override that negative value driver. For example, I think we've talked about this before, a delay in care after your car accident is considered a negative value driver.
Right.
If you wait too long, the computer program may devalue your claim because you waited so long.
Waited long. Mm-hmm.
But if you can explain that and present evidence with the claim that shows why there was a delay, the adjuster can then take that value, that negative value driver out. So that's the other benefit. And then the final benefit is understanding the value of a claim. Mm-hmm. What is the claim worth? How are claims valued? What is going to be the potential verdict range, or what is that claim worth in court? Because, again, at the end of the day, if you can't get a claim settled with the insurance company, you go to court. Generally, a jury of 12 mm-hmm. will tell you, after they hear all the evidence, hear issues about liability, hear issues about the injuries and medical causation, those 12 people will come to a unanimous verdict as to what they think the case is worth. So when we're valuing a claim, what we're trying to give our clients is a realistic estimate as to what we think these 12 people will do with that claim when
right.
they hear the evidence and come back for that decision. That way you know what you're getting from the insurance company is fair.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the insurance company's job. Again, coming back to the example of the $20,000 claim, it's not the insurance company's job to say, hey, this is a $20,000 claim. We need to pay you, write you
right.
a check. It's not the way it works. Their job mm-hmm. is to settle the claim as cheaply as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Insurance is a profit business, and they don't make their profit by just willy-nilly giving money away if
right.
they don't have to.
Right.
And so if you don't know what the value of the claim is, it's not their job to say, well, oh, thank you for asking for $10,000, but you really should be getting $20,000.
Right.
It's not the way it works. And that's the benefit of having an experienced lawyer helping you on an injury claim, is that lawyer can give you a realistic understanding of the value of the
mm-hmm.
claim. And I always tell clients, when we give them the value, it's like, look, this is confidential. This is between us. We're going to start up here. We're going to start higher,
mm-hmm.
just like the insurance company is going to start lower. We're going to go back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
But if we get into that range or get near what a fair value is, it's time to settle the claim.
Mm-hmm.
And I always tell clients, going to court is like surgery.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to do it unless you absolutely have to. And if you can get a claim settled without having to go to court, and you can get a fair settlement for that claim, then you're ahead of the
mm-hmm.
game,
mm-hmm.
and it's better off for everybody, except for the insurance defense lawyers who bill by the hour, who would like to see cases in court. but again, that's kind of the value of having a lawyer involved in a big summary there.
Well, good. Good. Well, our next question comes from Stan and Daphne, and he posted this question through the lawchat247.com website and stated, I think I need help with my auto crash injury claim, but there are so many lawyers out there. I'm not sure who to hire or how to go about picking a lawyer to help with my claim.
And again, we are in a mm-hmm. period of time where lawyer advertising is as high as I've ever seen it in 33 years of practicing law.
Right.
It's incredible. There are lots of lawyers out there advertising, and that's not necessarily a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
But the biggest thing, I think, is just word of mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Look for a lawyer that's active in the community that maybe your friends or family know and they recommend. Even if that lawyer doesn't do injury work, that lawyer generally knows who you can recommend and can recommend a lawyer that will do a good job,
mm-hmm.
and not just a churn and burn type, get
mm-hmm.
you in, settle the case, make a quick fee. Also, in our guide for auto crash insurance claims, we have a segment, chapter 6, I believe it is, that is basically devoted to hiring an attorney, things mm-hmm. to ask, things to look for. Consultations with lawyers are generally free,
mm-hmm.
so you're free to, Stan should maybe interview a couple of them.
Uh-huh.
Go talk to a couple, maybe on the phone at first, and then maybe go meet with them in person and find a lawyer he's comfortable with if he
mm-hmm.
thinks he needs one. Then that lawyer may tell him, look, you don't need me. You can do this on your own.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a big enough claim. But he just needs to find a lawyer he's comfortable with, because, again, it's the end of the claim. The client is relying on the lawyer
mm-hmm.
to look out for their best interest and to try to advocate for them a benefit, the best benefit they can for that claim. And so understanding how it works, most injury lawyers do this on contingency fees or a percentage of the recovery. Most of them, the amount of that fee can vary. There are some local lawyers that charge 45% on a simple car accident claim. Generally, the standard is around one-third or 35%, mm-hmm. but there are some that do 40%, some that do 45%. I did even see one a couple years ago. The lawyer was charging 50% mm-hmm. on a basic car wreck. So just knowing the difference between the fees and then how the expenses will work
right.
and how the expenses will be handled are very important. So no easy answer to that question. Mm-hmm. A lot of times people just see an ad and they just jump on and they pick up the phone and make a call without really doing much research or work.
Right, right.
And as we get to a close, I would say, too, you want to look for a lawyer, in my opinion, that is active in working in our community. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Not a lawyer that's working for a mega firm that doesn't really have strong connections to our local community.
Right.
Most of the lawyers that I know that are like our firm are heavily involved in the community, want to help, and making a difference. So that's right. just a little bit there. But
welcome back to Law Chat 24/7. To be a part of the show and to have your legal questions answered, email Mark Wolf. Details online at lawchat247.com. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Wolf and Marion Boatler.
Welcome back to our third segment. We're rolling right along. We have some questions from some people who've been trying to handle their injury claims on their own.
Yes.
So we'll talk about some of the pitfalls with that.
All right. Well, good. Well, our first question is Cindy from Mount Vernon wants to know about her car accident claim. She says, I've been handling my car accident injury claim myself. The accident was not my fault, and I've been dealing with the other driver's insurance company. It's been a little over 2 years since the crash, and I've been having a hard time getting the insurance company to call me back. Yesterday, when I called, I finally got to speak to my adjuster, and he told me my claim was over and the claim was closed. I asked him if they were going to pay me for my injury, and he rudely said no and hung up on me. What should I do now?
All right, and this is a very difficult situation we encounter every once in a while. Unfortunately, it appears that Cindy has let her statute of limitations lapse. And that's something you have to remember. A statute of limitations is a period of time that you have to either have a claim resolved, or if you can't get the claim resolved, you have to have a lawsuit filed by that certain statute of limitations. Doesn't mean your lawsuit has to be finished. It just has to be filed mm-hmm. within that time frame. In Alabama, the statute of limitations for a negligence claim, be it a car accident, be it a slip and fall, any type of negligence claim, the statute of limitations is 2 years from the date of the incident. And unfortunately, a lot of times people don't realize that, and we get these type calls, and they've actually missed their statute of limitations. Mm-hmm. And Alabama, we are very strict on those statute of limitations. There's not very much wiggle room mm-hmm. to get around that. It's possible in some situations, for example, if the insurance company had sent her something and mistakenly told her she had 3 years to file her lawsuit or finish her claim, maybe that would be a way to get around it. But it's not, again, the insurance company's job to tell you what your rights are.
Right.
We've talked about it before. Alabama insurance regulations and rules consider the claimant insurance company situation to be adversarial, mm-hmm. meaning it's not the insurance company's job to tell a claimant their rights. Even if it's your own insurance company, they don't have an obligation to try to help you or tell you anything about the law. And a lot of times they can't make legal conclusions because they're not lawyers. So, unfortunately, in Cindy's situation, the reason she's not getting much feedback mm-hmm. and getting difficulty from the insurance company is because, quite candidly, her claim is over.
Mm-hmm.
And then statute of limitations varies from state to state. I think Mississippi, don't hold me to this, but I think Mississippi is 3 years. I think Florida may be a little bit longer, but it's in some states are only 1 year.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. I know Louisiana used to be 1 year. I think they recently expanded that. But Kentucky is 1 year. Different states have different statute of limitations. So you got to know that, mm-hmm. especially if you're not going to talk with a lawyer
right.
or consult with a lawyer or get some any information. You just need to know that. So,
that's a big part of it. Well, this question is from John, and he, too, has been trying to handle his personal injury claim without an attorney. He sent in this question by email and has questions about a settlement. He says, after my fall at a local grocery store several months ago, I agreed to settle my claim for $3,500. They sent me all the paperwork, which I signed and faxed back. Yesterday, I received the settlement check, and it was for a little over $1,000. I called the insurance lady, and she said the rest of the money was paid to the hospital and my health insurance company. I want to undo the settlement because I thought the full $3,500 we agreed on was coming to me directly. How do I go about undoing the settlement?
Okay, and again, a difficult situation. Mm-hmm. In Alabama, we consider settlements once their paperwork is signed and once the deal is done, so to speak, it's etched in concrete. Mm-hmm. It's a very hard thing to undo absent some sort of fraud on the part of the insurance company. Again, it's not the insurance company's job to tell John in this situation that there's such things as hospital liens and subrogation claims, mm-hmm. all of which need to be satisfied out of that settlement funds. And I'm quite sure in the settlement paperwork that he signed, he acknowledged that and agreed mm-hmm. to that. He just didn't realize that. You know, hospital liens have to be satisfied because they're by statute. So if he had a hospital lien on the settlement funds, the insurance company is legally obligated to pay that mm-hmm. hospital. If there's a subrogation claim, there's not a statutory requirement that it be repaid, but a lot of insurance companies will put something in the release that says you're authorizing them to pay that, and basically you get the difference. Mm-hmm. And in this situation, unfortunately, John didn't realize that when mm-hmm. he settled the claim and missed his opportunity to clarify that issue. Again, a simple phone call, a simple consultation, a simple review of some literature could help helped John understand how mm-hmm. that was going to work. But again, you know, a lot of people are busy and they don't want to talk with a lawyer, and I understand that. But they also just kind of like, well, the insurance company is going to do X, Y, Z, do everything. And then when it doesn't work out that way, after the fact, they're kind of like, wait a minute.
Yeah, right.
That didn't work the way I thought mm-hmm. it was going to work. So, mm-hmm. again, a difficult situation. Fortunately, when we talked with John, it was not a serious injury. It was a bad situation as far as him not getting the money he thought he was going mm-hmm. to get. But thank goodness he wasn't catastrophically injured
exactly.
and did it mm-hmm. On his own. So,
well, and this question is from Jim sent through Messenger on the Law Chat 24/7 Facebook page, saying, about 18 months ago, my wife was hurt in a bad car accident when her car was T-boned by a drunk driver. We hired a friend's lawyer, and he got us the full policy limits of the at-fault driver, which was $25,000. Most of that money went to the lawyer, the hospital, and to our health insurance company. I recently downloaded your car crash booklet and learned we may have had an underinsured motorist claim under our own car policy. Is it too late to do this, and can we do this ourselves?
Okay, and this is a difficult situation to be advising somebody on, but the starting point is to secure an underinsured motorist claim, which is your own insurance.
Mm-hmm.
If you get hurt by a driver that is uninsured or does not have enough insurance, you can pursue your personal injury damages through your own policy, either through uninsured motorist coverage or underinsured motorist coverage. You have to exhaust the at-fault driver's mm-hmm. insurance first, is in what they did here. However, there are some very stringent notice requirements that you must comply with under Alabama law before you can move to your underinsured coverage. if you don't comply with those statutes and requirements, then you lose your underinsured motorist claim, mm-hmm. or you give the insurance company a reason to deny the claim. Now, in this situation, I suggested to Jim that he go ahead and notify his insurance company of the situation and let his insurance company know that they have already taken the money from the at-fault driver, mm-hmm. Which has probably included signing a what's called a general release, which may have already released this claim.
Right.
And he didn't comply with the notice requirements, but he needs to at least give his insurance company mm-hmm. the opportunity to decide whether or not they want to accept this claim. Now, I don't think they're going to, and that's going to put Jim in a situation where he may have a legal malpractice claim
mm-hmm.
because the lawyer that was handling this apparently did not put the underinsured carrier on notice of the claim. If the insurance company paid $25,000 or the policy limits and it was a drunk driver, that is a aggravating factor, and the claim may have been worth well more than $25,000. So if the lawyer didn't properly handle the underinsured motorist mm-hmm. claim, then there may be a legal malpractice claim back against that lawyer. But again, the starting point is going to be notifying his insurance company of the potential underinsured motorist claim and giving them an opportunity to see what they may do or what they may not do.
Right.
Again, because before you can pursue a legal malpractice claim, you have to show you were damaged.
Mm-hmm.
In this situation, Jim has to show that, well, I submitted it to my insurance company, and they said, hey, you signed a general release, and two, you didn't give us proper notification mm-hmm. as required under the law, therefore we're denying the claim. And in that situation, then he and his wife may have a legal malpractice claim mm-hmm. against the lawyer, which is, again, not a good situation. But sometimes if a lawyer gets in over their head on mm-hmm. these type cases, a lot of times people think, oh, it's a simple car accident case. It's no big deal. Well, car accident insurance claims can be very complex, mm-hmm. and there's a lot of subtleties that go on into these that if you're not aware of and you're not doing this regularly, it can create some problems.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
hopefully Jim's best case scenario is that his insurance company will accept the U claim, the
right.
underinsured motorist claim, allow them to present the claim documents and material, and then make an effort to try to get that settled
mm-hmm.
For a fair amount.
Mm-hmm.
But again, he's unfortunately going to be left to rely on the generosity of the insurance company, which not always mm-hmm. that's not their job.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a situation if the insurance company were to come back and say, no, we're not going to accept this claim, I can't blame them. They're within mm-hmm. their rights to do that. And then Jim will have to decide if he wants to take the next step.
Mm-hmm.
So anyways, all right, we have coming up on our next break, Jim mentioned our booklet that he downloaded for free, our Guide for Auto Crash Insurance Claims, and this is a 16-page booklet that covers all aspects of auto insurance injury claims, property damage claims as well, has a segment on, as we mentioned previously, mm-hmm. on hiring a lawyer, has a segment on how to give a recorded statement to the insurance company, talks about all the different issues related to your property damage insurance claim, and different issues related to your insurance, your bodily injury insurance claim. So, available
very
free
helpful.
At mm-hmm. brwlawyers.com. All you got to do is go to our website. It'll pop up and ask you if you're here to download a free copy. You give us an email address, and you get linked to it automatically. You can download it immediately, and then we also send you a link to it, so in case you need to download it in the future, you'll have it. So,
right.
brwlawyers.com.
Welcome back to Law Chat 24/7. To be a part of the show and to have your legal questions answered, email Mark Wolf. Details online at lawchat247.com. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Wolf and Marion Boatler.
Welcome back to our final segment of Law Chat 24/7. We have a few more questions to address before we end the show, but if you want to remind people how they can get their questions responded to within 24 hours, that would be great.
Absolutely. There are three ways to submit your legal questions and get a response. The first one, lawchat247.com, the website. The second one is lawchat247 Facebook page, or just send an email directly to you, Mark, at mark@brwlawyers.com.
Very good. Please keep your questions coming in. We enjoy responding to them, and some of them we pick for their informational purposes and use them on the air. So please submit your questions, and we will be glad to respond to them.
Yes. Well, this question, our next one, is concerns being a youthful offender. She says, I pled guilty to being a youthful offender. Will my charges show up on a background check for a passport? I was 19 when I got a felony for distribution of a controlled substance and possession of marijuana, and I was given youthful offender status for these charges. I did my time and finished probation and haven't been in trouble since.
Well, first off, congratulations on not being in trouble since. That's the whole whole purpose of youthful offender. So before we address her question about the background, we'll take a second and talk about what youthful offender is. If it's a status that's available to somebody who's generally between the age of 18 and 21, and it allows them to plead guilty or have their case adjudicated not on the underlying charge per se, but on the status of being a youthful offender. It's kind of the interim between juvenile court and once you hit 21, 22, real life. Real adult court.
Right.
And it's designed to give people who make a mistake in that period an opportunity to have the underlying charge taken off their record and then have an adjudication or a hearing on whether or not they're considered a, quote, youthful offender. The cool thing about it is that the underlying charge, the proceedings are all sealed. So once it's finished, it's all sealed, and it's not available for just general population, and you're not convicted of a crime. So when you're asked in the future, have you ever been convicted of a crime, you can legitimately say no. Now the other side of it, you don't have a right to trial by jury. If you plead or request YO status and the judge grants it, then the judge is the one who makes the determination and hears the case and makes the determination as to whether or not he will adjudicate you or determine you to be a youthful offender. The judge could also still find you not guilty of the underlying charge. Generally, YO, youthful offender, comes about in relation to a plea. It's a plea that's worked out in advance. People pleaded YO, get on probation, and again, in her situation, hopefully learn their lesson,
right,
go forward, and don't make that mistake again. As I said, the records are sealed, but when she's talking about applying for a passport, I don't know if they are sealed to that tightly so that the federal government can't get to him. I think they will probably find that she was pled guilty or adjudicated as a YO, youthful offender. How much detail they will know about the underlying charge, I honestly don't know. Because, again, we're living in the digital age. It's when we talk about records being sealed, we're not talking about anymore about literally an envelope that's taped shut. It's just access to those records is limited. But I would think the federal government might have access to that information. So, but it should not prevent her from getting a passport.
Well, that's good.
All right. We get to our final segment,
The
Can I Sue? We've got kind of an interesting one here and one that I have some kind of funny that it came in, but we're experiencing a similar problem.
Okay. Well, let's see. It's a person keeps posting really foul stuff in the comments section of my business Facebook page. I'm pretty sure he's not a former customer, and I tried to send him a private message asking him to stop. I've now blocked him from the Facebook page and reported him to Facebook, but I'm wondering if I can sue him for slander or defamation to my business.
And we've talked about slander and defamation before. And again, in this situation, this is something that what the person was posting was just something. It was just gross.
Yes.
It wasn't derogatory to the business. It was just a troll who saw this post and posted something really ugly. We've had that happen on our law firm Facebook page before too. So as long as the business was not defamed or they didn't speak badly of the business, it was just basically a gross picture that was posted, there's not really a defamation or slander type action that can be taken. Plus, we now live in this era where a lot of social media accounts are cloned.
That's
and,
right.
And somebody, it could be being posted by John Smith, but it's not really John Smith.
Exactly.
It's somebody that has cloned John Smith's account and just thinks going through pages is funny and doing this kind of stuff is funny. So it would be very hard to identify that person and prove that was actually the real live John Smith and not a clone that was doing it. And then even if you could, the damages would be hard to prove, because it's not necessarily derogatory, it's just gross. And two, it's also would be awfully hard to find that person or get jurisdiction over them. He's done the right thing. You block these kind of people, and
report
you report it and go on. We've had to do that a number of times. We have a post that's running right now that this gentleman kept making just really gross posts on the comment section, and I didn't even try to find him or didn't even try to ask why. He was not a former client, just somebody out there that just doing it for fun. Sometimes people have way too much time on their hands. So I didn't even bother to report him to Facebook. I just blocked him so he can't post on our page anymore and move on. But that's unfortunately the era we live in. And again, a lot of these accounts are cloned, and you don't know who's really doing it or who's behind it or why they want to do something like that. But it's out there, it happens. But in this situation, there's really not much legal recourse that could be economically undertaken in this situation. So, all right, we're wrapping up show number 12. Wow, good show. And as we get to our close, we've talked a lot tonight about our guide for auto crash insurance claims.
It would be very helpful.
It's a good booklet. Mm-hmm. It's very helpful. You can order it free from our website, brwlawyers.com. You can call our office and we can mail you a hard copy. I always tell folks, put it in your glove box. We have a section on the back that says what to do at the accident scene. Hopefully you never need it, but it'll be there. So give us a call if you want a copy, or go to brwlawyers.com. Thank you, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to Law Chat 24/7, sponsored by Boatler, Richardson, Wolf, Injury Lawyers, proudly serving the citizens of the Alabama, Mississippi, and Florida Gulf Coast since 1987. Learn more at brwlawyers.com. If you need a response to a legal question, go to lawchat247.com. That's lawchat247.com, and submit your question. And be sure to join us next Tuesday evening at 7 for another edition of Law Chat 24/7, when we will continue to review and discuss legal issues that impact you and our community.